Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Season 2 of Got 'Em, Coach. The show that doesn't believe in boasting and bragging, so we won't mention the 4,000-plus downloads and the fan base that stretches over 50 cities and 30 countries around the world.
Because that would be doing too much.
Now, here's your host, the mayor of the Four Point Island, Tyrone Smith.
Hey. Your boy's back in the building. And I'm proud of myself, man. What was the last episode? I think it hasn't been that long. It hasn't been that long. I think it has been a couple weeks since the last episode. So for me to be back on the mic putting together another one in such short amount of time, I am very, very proud of myself. First things first, let me start off by saying welcome to season two, Got 'Em, Coach. I miss you guys, even though it's only been, it ain't been that long. I don't think it's been that long, but I missed you guys nonetheless. Man, it's been an interesting, long, hard road that I've been on the past couple weeks, man. It's been tough, but you know what? In the midst of your storms, you always gonna find solace and perspective on everything that you go through. You know, you always gonna find something positive in the midst of all the negativity that you go through. And that's kind of what I went through. First things first, 3-bell salute for my cuz who passed away, and we just had his memorial service last Saturday. So 3-bell salute for Big Cuz. That was a tough one. Not so much because of the fact that it was a passing. We're all gonna go through situations where we're gonna lose somebody in the family, or you're gonna lose somebody who really means a lot to you, who had a impact on your life that a lot of people may not understand. But it was just so hard because of how it affected so many of us. You know, it was one of those unexpected type things, man. It was one of them things that everybody just kind of going on with day. You know what I'm saying? When I found out the news, I was actually in the barber shop, getting ready to get a cut, and I seen the news, and you know, it was surprising. You just don't, certain situations like that, you just don't want to believe. You just don't believe it, and you're trying to find every excuse for it not to be true. But for me, in terms of me, it was just hard because that was the first time I ever had to break news to, like, you know, people that I love. You know, normally when people pass, you know, I'm always the person that the news is getting broke to. And, you know, so it was tough being on the other end of the spectrum, having to break news to people to let them know what had happened. I didn't even know how to do it. It was just so tough. You know, it's tough to, you know, tell, you know, like, for example, like my mom, it was tough to tell her that, you know, what was going on. I struggled with how to say it. You know, I didn't want to say it because, you know, I ain't want to. Sometimes you don't want to speak up anything and come to find out that maybe, you know, maybe you overspoke at the particular time. It's not what you think it is. So I was trying to be cautious of not saying, just come blatantly coming out and saying it, but at the same time letting her know that, you know, something was wrong. And you know, she took the whole thing kind of hard, just because you know, of their relationship. They were so close. And I know how it is when you have close relationships with cousins, because, you know, I have very good relationships with a lot of my cousins. And I know how I would feel if one of the cousins that I grew up with, you know, was to pass on. So, you know, she took the news kind of hard. You know, so I had to be a consoler, you know, to let, you know, to give her a shoulder to cry on. And, you know, it was, the whole thing was tough. It was tough. So, you know, I grind on. You know, one thing about my cousin, man, you know, he was one of them people that, you know, it wasn't no feeling sorry for yourself. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no feeling sorry. You know, you get the tears out, you get whatever emotions that you got to get out. But at the end of the day, you know, you still got to push forward. You still got to move through. You still got to grind. You still got to make things happen. And, you know, not necessarily put the negativity behind you, but use that hurt and that pain to you know, to motivate you to do something great. And I ain't gonna front, like I felt it, like me personally, like I felt it, like, yeah, I really, really felt it. You know, just because, like I said, you know, like I have been saying from the beginning, you know, my growing up, my upbringing, you know, I didn't have the normal upbringing in terms of, you know, growing up with, you know, in a two parent household and, you know, having, you know, brothers and sisters to play with and all that. I ain't had it, you know. Like I had, you know, my grandmother and my mother, you know, they raised me. You know, and then I had aunts, you know, who had a hand in raising me. So, you know, the kids from my aunts or whoever, you know, them was like brothers and sisters to me, like, cause my mom didn't have any other kids. I'm the only child. So, you know, like my upbringing is different. It's different from everybody's upbringing in my family. Let's just put it like that. You know, I have a different upbringing from everybody in my family, you know, just because of, how I came up. And cuz was one of them people, whenever I would get out of line or act up, you know, granny would say, you know, she was either gonna get two people. And he was one of them people. And, you know, he was a big dude. And, you know, me growing up, you know, I was real skinny. So, you know, he put the fear of God in me sometimes, you know. But every time I spoke to him, you know, it was always positivity. You know, he always had encouraging words for me. You know, let me know everything was okay. Everything was going to be all right. Then once I got older and I kind of fell into a situation where I had lost my job, and I didn't really have a direction, I didn't have a plan after I had lost my job, you know, he just kind of, you know, he kept me uplifted, you know, because it was times where I was really going through it, didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, you try to make best with what you can, you know, you make do with what you can. And it was tough for about 5-6 months after I had lost my job. It was really, really tough, because the bills don't care if you got a job or not, you know. the bills, at the end of the day, they just want to get paid. So, you know, things can stay on, lights can stay on, you know, cell phones can stay on, internet can stay on, cable can stay on. And I ain't even have money to pay for cable, so they cut cable off. So I had to do things to make sure I had cable. And you know it worked for a little bit until, you know, my little finessing of the system didn't work no more, and they cut the basic off. So I ain't had basic no more. So it was a tough time. So, you know, every time, you know, I would walk into the church, you know, I would walk in with my head held high, but deep down inside, you know, I was really feeling the emotional part, you know, just wondering like, man, what am I going to do to get this bill done? How am I going to be able to pay this bill? How am I going to be able to do this bill? And like, the materialistic stuff wasn't even on my mind at that time. The shoes, the clothes, the phones, you know, the electronics, none of that was on my mind. I just wanted to make sure that I can take care of myself well enough to where I didn't have to call mom like, hey, mom, look, I need to come stay with you for a little bit because, you know, I ain't got no money to, you know, continue to pay this rent. And no matter how bleak the situation was, no matter how tough the situation was, I made it through. I made it through. I may not have made it through with, you know, things that I wanted, but the things that I needed, I definitely was able to make it through. And he was just one of them people, you know, who just told me like, you know, everything's going to be all right. You know, just keep pushing, keep moving, keep your faith, you know, keep your trust and belief. And, you know, something's going to work out for you. And eventually, you know, something worked out for me. And, you know, here I am today, living the most comfortable life that I could possibly live. I could do what I want. I could go and buy whatever I want, you know, and then, you know, on top of that, I'm building towards something that when I do have little Tyrones or Tyronas or Tyrishas or Tyrianas or Tyranasias or Tashianas,
what?
I can pass this on to them. You know, and the legacy will continue with all the ties, all the ghetto ties, but there'll be ties nonetheless. But man, you know, I went through that whole maybe them whole 3 days where, you know, I was really feeling it. I was really, you know, in the motions of everything that had went on, man. You know, everything that had went on, you know, it was like, man, this is crazy. Like, I can't believe this is happening. And, you know, I can't lie, I fell into a little stage of depression. You know, I was a little upset, a little more upset than usual. You know, I had got to the point where, you know, I had changed my number because I just wanted to just not disappear. Like, I wanted to cause physical harm to myself, but I wanted to disappear. I didn't want nobody to call me. I didn't want nobody to text me. I didn't want nobody to Instagram me, Snapchat me, Facebook me, no social media me, nothing. I just wanted to go away and not be bothered and just chill and be by myself. And it was only then that I had to, that day, you know, the day of the memorial service, I had to really, you know, once I got home, man, I had really thought about it. And, you know, I was just like, you know what, I can't, you know, he wouldn't want me to feel bad. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't want me to be sad. He wouldn't want me to ask nobody out because of something that unfortunately is just a part of life. You know, sometimes you kind of expect it. You know, somebody has cancer, or, you know, somebody's been dealing with an illness for X amount of years, and, you know, you can kind of prepare yourself. But when it's unexpected, this is just one of them unfortunate things of life. You know, unexpectancy always happens. It happens when you least suspect it. That's why it's unexpected. So, you know, it was just like, you know, I can't feel bad. You know, I can feel bad. I can mourn. And I can, you know, I everything that I do now, I just got to do in his memory. And that's kind of where I'm at, man. You know, I've been back like on my grind, like when I first started, you know, just studying and writing and, you know, just doing the stuff that I had been doing, where I had maybe lost focus for X amount of months, you know, thinking that I had made it, you know, kind of being comfortable with certain things and realizing that I shouldn't be comfortable with these particular things, that, you know, I should continue to move forward, because at the end of the day, I want to be able to, you know, strive and be successful with something that I really put, I put my money into, you know, I put my time, I put my effort, I put sweat equity, equity, blood equity, tears, all that. I put all that into this to be able to create the best content that I can get, that I can possibly create at the, at a particular time, week in and week out. And I lost my place, with the, with, you know, the, you know, meeting with people and, you know, the amount of downloads the show has gotten, or, you know, the amount of countries that the show has listened to. I kind of let that get to my head and lost my place. And, you know, that's one thing about success, man. When you work for it and you get it, you know, sometimes, you know, you fall right into that success trap and you think that you that guy. And failing to realize that just as quick as you got it, it was hard for you to get it. But if you procrastinate and you BS and do all this other stuff, man, it's easy for you to lose it. And that's kind of where I was, man. So, like I said, man, rest in peace to Big Cuz, Troy, man. I love you, man. Love you to the death. Thank you for being there for me, man. Thank you for always having uplifting words for me. Thank you for always letting me know that no matter how bad the situation is, it can be much worse. And, you know, everything I, you know, what I do now, I do in your memory. And, you know, you one of them angels that watch over me now, along with my grandma, my cuz, my little cuz, Mike, my Uncle Man, my Auntie Betty, my Auntie Margie. I love you guys and I appreciate every single one of you guys, because each one of you have brought something to the table to me, a kid who grew up a lot of his teenage years, a lot of his preteen years, a lot of his early childhood years. Didn't grow up without a father figure, and my mom could only do so much, you know, to raise me. And, you know, everybody chipped in. Everybody had a say so. Everybody had a little piece of the pie to developing the Tyrone that you see now, the appreciative Tyrone, the humble Tyrone, the give back Tyrone, the grinder Tyrone, the smart man that is Tyrone L. Smith the Third, Eagle Warrior, Saint Patron's. That's not a word. That's definitely not a word. The word of the day is Patron's. That's what I said, right? Patron's. That sound like a word. That might be a word. I don't know. But that's gonna be my word of the day. Patron's. But like I said, man, all things considered, man, I thank you, Troy. Love you, man. Rest in power, rest in peace. Continue to look after the family, man. You got two boys who doing their thing. A wife who was loyal. You see the impact that you having on my mother. You know, you guys are like the best of the best. You guys were so close and she took it so hard. And, you know, thank you. Thank you for everything, man. So, before we get more into this episode, moment of silence for my cousin, please. All right, thank you. So, it's no easy way to transition into this week's show. So, I'm gonna try to do it the best way that I could, man. So let's get into it, man. Y'all already know what time it is, man. Episode number lucky number 13. Where I was investigated by Robin Mueller too. Is that the man's name? Robert Mueller? I know his last name, Mueller. I was investigated by him too. And come to find out, they didn't have enough to charge me with obstruction of justice. Now, there's nothing I could possibly obstruct of justice because I don't live that kind of life. I don't have ties to the Mexican mafia or the Russian government. You know, I'm not a big hacker of computers. I can't rig an election. I can't do those things. I can't build tunnels to escape from prison and go to my other tunnels or my other hideaway spots. I don't have billions of dollars to pay prison officials to look away as I build these tunnels and all of this other stuff. I don't have the balls to tell Mexico to shut, to get your stuff in line. Stop something that's been going on for 10s and 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s of years, or I'm going to shut down your border and I'm going to affect everybody's life. It doesn't even matter to this point. I don't have that kind of power, but I never obstructed justice. Because frankly, I'm scared of police. Shout out to the Hamtramck Police Department. Y'all know I was going to shout y'all out, man. Anytime I talk about law enforcement, I got to shout out my boys in Hamtramck. So shout out to the Hamtramck Police Department. Y'all scare me every single time I'm in Hamtramck. I legitimately have to drive 15 miles under the speed limit just in case they try to pull some little petty stuff talking about some I was speeding. I had sped off. Hey, come on. Anyways. Got him, coach. Yes. And I am your host, Tyrone Smith, aka Wrong Too Exclusive, aka Mr. Hustle Bandit, aka Mr. Sneaker Bandit. Four Point Island, lock him up, wrong. Who be? Spinning around the world, brush to my hair, oh, I'm spinning around the world. Daytona 360, alive and in the flesh, and y'all already know. I come to do, man. I come to give y'all that Dylan Dillinger hot fire. That H-E-A-T heat. Y'all already know how it go. So check it out, man. I told y'all, man, I've been on a whole nother grind this past week, man. So y'all already know. My favorite time of the year is upon us. The NBA playoffs, man. The NBA playoffs is upon us. 16 teams, 18 from each conference, battling it out to see who will be the best of the best. Who will take home that coveted gold Larry O'Brien trophy and have bragging rights until the next season, where 32 teams will compete for a spot, one of the 16 spots in the playoffs next year, to compete for that same Larry O'Brien trophy. And there's been a lot of intrigue going on with the playoffs so far. First things first, man. One bell for DeMarcus Cousins, please, man, because it's unfortunate this man has been through as much as he's been through. Never played in a playoff series. Goes to Golden State, betting on himself to show teams this coming free agency with his playoff performance that he is a guy that has recovered fully from this Achilles injury, and he is going to garner the big bucks. He wants the big bucks to be able to show that he can lead a team. Well, not necessarily lead a team, because in the NBA now, you can't have one guy lead your team. You got to have two or three guys, and it's got to be a conspiring conglomerate of group of guys to all come together and be able to lead a team to the championship. But DeMarcus Cousins came to Golden State wanting to prove himself that he can be one of the guys that if you had the bread, cap money this summer, you can get you a boogie. And he chases down a loose ball and he tears his quadricep. He pulled a Kevin Nash on us. Heck, he even pulled a Triple H on us. Triple H and Kevin Nash had histories of quadricep injuries in the WWE. Look, I don't know how the WWE reference came in there, but it just came in there. Shout out to Kofi Kingston for winning the WWE Championship. I don't know how that goes, but he's the SmackDown champion now. So shout out to him. And y'all better get it together, because if my baby Sasha Banks quits WWE, I'm never watching Raw again. And that's facts. But Boogie tears his quadricep and he's not coming back for the playoffs. He's not playing another game for the playoffs, which now leads the intrigue. Will he be a max guy this summer? And we'll talk about that a little more. We'll get a little more in depth with that when we talk about free agency, which will be coming up very, very soon. I'll do a whole nother episode on that. So bookmark that question. Is DeMarcus Cousins still a max free agent? But let's get back to these playoffs, man. Like I said, a lot of intrigue. Golden State blows a 31-point lead to the Clippers in game two, which was very, very shocking, because I was telling Kevin Looney in that game to go crazy, because he was going crazy. And I'm watching this game and you're seeing the score dwindling. You're just thinking that Golden State isn't going to implode. Like, you know, they're not going to implode to lose this series, to lose this game. They're Golden State. They're going to be able to hit shots. They're at home. You know, the crowd is going to, you know, will them to this victory. But didn't happen like that. Sweet Lou Williams went crazy. Him and Montrez and Shamit, they all went crazy in that fourth quarter, and they came back and beat the Golden State Warriors, which woke them up, because the Golden State Warriors smacked them in game three, and then they just beat them I'll say yesterday, since this technically is a new day, but a lot of people don't consider it a new day until the sun rises. So for me, once 12 o'clock hits, it's technically a new day. So they beat the Clippers on Sunday, which would be yesterday. Yeah. So, you know, they awoken the inner monster. And I think maybe that's what Golden State needed. I think that they realized that they have way more talent than everybody else in the West, to where they can go on their another run like they did that one year where they won 16 games and only lost one. And they could be that dominant of a team. But they have these moments where, you know, they lose a little bit of focus. You know, they take in 35-foot fadeaway three-pointers. You know, they're passing the ball recklessly. And they lose that focus sometimes. And they allow teams to stay in games. And sometimes, you know, they self-implode and they lose, you know, games that they should win. I think this 31-point loss that they had suffered by the hands of the Clippers. So they had to be outscored by like a whole bunch of points to lose by 31 points. But to be up 31 points and to lose the game had to awaken them to realize that maybe they can get away with this with the Clippers. They could get away with this. They can lose this one game and they can still be okay. They can still put out the Clippers in five, which I think is going to happen. I said it was going to go five. It looked like it's going to go five, just like I said. But when you go into like Houston, because Houston looks like they're going to beat Utah in their series, and when you go into possibly either like a Portland or a Denver. Denver is 2-2 right now with San Antonio. Portland is 3-1 against OKC. They just won tonight. They can't do this against the better teams, because the better teams will take advantage of that and destroy the Warriors. Like, the Warriors, I feel, are more vulnerable than what they've ever been. And that's just my personal opinion. But, you know, you had that happen, and then, you know, you had the DeMarcus Cousins thing. You had that, and you had the Warriors losing by all these points. And you have my Pistons. Shout out to the home team. You got the Pistons stinking up the joint. You know, they didn't have Blake Griffin in the first two games, and it obviously showed. Andre Drummond is making Brooke Lopez look like, man, Hakeem David, O'Neal, Chamberlain, Ewing, Mourning, Mutombo. He making them look like all the great centers that ever played in the game, man. Like, Andre is just, he's really, really struggling. He's really, really struggling. Brooke Lopez is embarrassing. And that's so hard to say because Andre is having a great year. He had a great year. But one of the knocks that I've always noticed with Dre is if he gets a mobile center on him that can move around a little bit, or if he gets a center that plays more NBA traditional type center instead of your normal traditional center for what you know a center to be, which is to be in the paint, banging, posting up, rebounds, all that other good stuff. And they play more of the today style center, which is out on the perimeter, shooting threes, taking the ball off the dribble. He struggles against those type of guys. And you can see he's struggling against Brooke Lopez. Giannis didn't have a great game in game three. I think he had like 14 and 10 in game three. Blake Griffin had came back and he had made it a little tougher for Giannis. But the first two games, Thon Maker was getting his money, his lunch money took. His lunch money, his rookie contract, his second contract, his future contracts, his high school contracts, his shoe deal. Like, he was getting all that took from Giannis. Giannis was just making poor old Thon. He was just making him look like a baby. It was really, really hard to watch. Not to say that I'm a Pistons fan, but, you know, just being from Detroit, you know, you just want to see your hometown team at least put up a fight. Put up a fight. Like, give me motivation to want to go down to the Pizza Dome and watch you guys play in the playoffs. Like, I was going to get tickets to tonight's game, and I don't even want to go because why would I pay $107 for tickets to watch the Pistons possibly lose by 30? Because they've lost by double digits in every single game so far in this series, and I just can't do it. But so there's a lot going on, so there's a couple things that I want to talk about, man. So let's get into this episode of April Madness, and I need the perfect music to kick this off. Let me think of something. What would be the perfect music to kick off April Madness and what I think is going to happen for the rest of the playoffs? I got it. Cue the music, please. Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Give you that good old NCAA Final Four music. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. NCAA tournament time. That's the best time of the year. Who won the Final Four this year? Oh yeah, shout out to Virginia, man. From worst to first, you know, because last year they lost to the 16th seed. So you're the worst team. You was the worst team in the thing. I don't care what nobody say. You were the worst team. So to come back and be able to beat Texas Tech, which beat Michigan State, shout out to y'all, man. I'm happy for those kids out in Virginia. Tough for the Texas Techers. You know, they beat my Spartans. You know, I had the Spartans winning it all, and, you know, just happened the way that I thought it would. But that's how it happens, man. So now let's talk about the NBA April Madness. Let's talk about it, man. We got to talk about it. So we got to talk about the favorites going forward, man. You know, we all know what the series are. Everybody has played at least four games. Everybody has played at least four games. There has been one sweep that has happened. We'll talk more about Indiana and Boston a little later. But you have to wonder, who are the favorites? Who are the favorites coming out the East and the West? So we look at the West, man. The West right now, I think it's obvious. I think Golden State is still the favorite, no matter what the situation is. But you know what? I look at Houston. Houston is coming up on the Warriors, man. They are really, really playing well against Utah. James Harden went At one stretch in the game, he went like 0 for 15. But he still impacted the game with his assists, rebounds. He had like 5-6 steals. So he was still impacting the game. And if Houston is going to win, now granted it is against an offensively challenged Utah team, but if Houston can win games without getting the best from James Harden, man, you have to accept the fact that Houston is going to be a legitimate threat. A legitimate threat. But in the meantime, between time, I'm going to have to put Golden State because I feel like the Clippers have woke them up. I feel like Patrick Beverley has awoken a beast in Kevin Durant. And now I feel like you're going to get playoff Kevin, which is not a great thing for the rest of the Western Conference teams and for the potential Eastern Conference representative in the NBA Finals. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. And you can thank Patrick Beverley for awakening that beast in Kevin Durant. So Golden State is my favorite in the West. In the East is a little tough because Milwaukee is looking good, but you gotta remember, you gotta remember the sources. Milwaukee's playing Detroit, and Detroit isn't really that great of a team without Blake Griffin, and with a hobbled Blake Griffin, they're a little better, but they're still not that great, and they don't have nearly the firepower that the Milwaukee Bucks have, and it's very, very obvious in the scores of these games, which is quite ridiculous. I was legitimately mad watching game three. I almost threw my iPad on the ground. Then I had to think about it and realize that I paid a lot of money for that iPad. And if I threw it on the ground, then I wouldn't be able to use the iPad, which is my source of, being able to put together these episodes, man. If y'all just heard a noise, it was just this noise telling me to restart my Windows 10 update, which I'm not going to do because I'm recording right now, but it just scared the crap out of me. So if you've seen the loss of moment that I just had, shut up. If you just seen the loss of moment that I just had, it's because of that noise. It scared the crap out of me. I thought it was something outside. Thought it was maybe the police or something like that. It kind of made me feel some type of way. But hey, that was kind of scary. But like I said, man, the Pistons aren't on the level of the Milwaukee Bucks, and it's very, very obvious that they're not on that level. And it's unfortunate because you have to really wonder: is the Bucks are they really for real, man? Because it's like you could do all these great things against bad teams, but that doesn't mean that you're really, you know, you're able and ready to, you know, take the position of being, you know, a dominant team in the playoffs. So you got to kind of think about that when you look at this Milwaukee-Detroit series. But nonetheless, the Bucks still look good. You know, they still got to play the game. They still got to make the shots. They still got to stop Pistons from making the shots. And they still got to get players out of their game. And they've done all of these things so far. And they'll be looking for the sweep later on tonight. So, Milwaukee is a serious contender. Boston swept Indiana, which I thought it was going to be a 7-series game because I just kind of like the way Indiana competes. They've been competing without Oladipo. Bogdanovich is kind of, he's been playing very, very well. I just felt like, you know, I felt like Indiana was going to will their way to at least 3 games, but I felt like Boston's talent and depth was going to be able to overcome the scrappiness of Indiana, but it just kind of didn't happen that way. For the first 2 quarters of each game, maybe 3 quarters of each game, is kind of competitive back and forth. And then Indiana always had these lapses, whether it was game 1, it was the 3rd quarter. It was game 2, it was the 4th quarter. Game 3 was, you know, a little mixture of the 3rd quarter and the 4th quarter. Game 4 was, you know, more so like the last X amount of minutes in the 4th quarter. So they've always had these lapses that kind of prevented them from being able to take a game. And it just kind of caught up with them. You could kind of see where Oladipo was missed because they just didn't have a guy to be able to get buckets. You know, Bogdanovich was the guy. He was the number one option. But Bogdanovich, he just had moments where he kind of struggled a little bit. And it was obvious that he was struggling. And it just seemed like once you seen that he was struggling, you just kind of seen that the whole team was struggling. You know, Tyreek Evans, you know, he was kind of struggling. He wasn't able to do what he normally does. Miles Turner, you know, he played well. Vicious dunk on Gordon Hayward, by the way. That dunk was nasty. man, that dunk was nasty. Like, that dunk was so nasty. Like, I was getting ready. I was about to go take a shower. I was all ready to take a shower. I had the Old Spice in my hand. I had my towel in my hand. I was ready to go. Like, when that dunk happened, I legit ran out the house. I ran outside. I'm like, whoa! Whoa! Playoff basketball! And I ran back in the house. It was crazy. But, that dunk was nasty. But, you know, he had his moments, you know, of inconsistency and pretty good play. But Indiana's looking... I mean, not Indiana. Boston looked very, very strong in that series. They swept them. So you have to consider them as one of the favorites. Toronto. Toronto is up 3-1 against Orlando. Orlando snuck out game one. And a lot of people wonder if this is going to be the same old Raptors with a different cast. A lot of people was, you know, down Kyle Lowry's throat for not being able to, you know, get the big one, you know, to continue his struggles. He had no points. He had no points in game one, but he had 8 rebounds and 7 assists to something to that extent, you know, so maybe he wasn't scoring like he was supposed to, but he was still a factor in the game. And then game two and game three, he came alive more. Game two, he had 22 points. He showed people that, you know, it's not what you think it is. And, you know, he came out and he played very, very well. Game three, he had 12 points and 10 assists. You know, he played very, very well. So, give Kyle Lowry a break, man. Give Kyle Lowry a break. And he had a pretty good game this game, game four, too. Kawhi Leonard had 32. Kawhi Leonard is looking good. Hopefully, he stays in Toronto. I really want to see him stay in Toronto. I want Toronto to, you know, be able to dominate that Eastern Conference. But who's my favorite, man? Out of them three teams, I have to say them three teams are my favorite. Really not a big fan of Philly. Never really been a big fan of Philly. Not saying that they're bad or anything of that nature. I just haven't been a big fan of Philadelphia in terms of, you know, getting far in the playoffs. I think maybe the second round is going to be their best. But if I had to pick a favorite from those three teams, I have Boston going to the championship. So I would have to say Boston is my favorite going in from the East. I had teams on upset notice. Currently, the only team I can look at right now would probably be Denver, and a lot of people wouldn't even consider that to be a upset because of the playoff pedigree that San Antonio has with Greg Popovich. You can kind of get these guys to play, be able to play their best. It's been a really, really good series, though. Really, really good series. Jokic and Murray, they came out and they played very, very well game four. I was really proud with the way that they came out and played. Torrey Craig did a wonderful job game four starting for Will Barton. Gave them a spark that they needed. Will Barton came off the bench and was able to get himself kind of back on track. He still kind of struggled with the shot a little bit, but he was able to hit more than what he had been able to hit in the previous two games, the previous three games before the before the demotion. So I was happy to see Denver be able to bounce back. And like I put in my notes, I said that Denver is gonna they're gonna go in the dogfight. It's probably gonna go six. I have Denver winning it in six. They're gonna have to taste it. They're gonna have to really feel it. So they're gonna have to go through a loss at home to help them win a game at home, and they're gonna have to have a loss on the road to be able to come back out and to win a game on the road. You know, they're gonna have to really get this taste. They're gonna have to grow within their wins and their losses, because I feel like they're gonna be a team in the Final Four, but we'll talk about that a little more later. But that's a team that is definitely on upset notice. In the East, you could have probably put Philly in there. Brooklyn was looking very, very good until they kind of lost their composure. Mike Scott hit a big three. Joel Embiid dominated the game. Jared Allen got his lunch money took at the end of the game. And they lost. So, you know, Philly and Brooklyn, I felt that was going to be a hard-fought series. And after game one, I felt like Brooklyn could have possibly had a chance, but it doesn't look like they'll have a chance now. I feel like they'll give them a heck of a game in game five, but at the end of the day, I feel like Brooklyn will pull it out. So, teams on upset notice, the only one I can really think of right now is the Denver Nuggets. Cinderella story so far in the playoffs. Man, Cinderella stories. You know what? Everybody seems to kind of be, you know, doing what, you know, what they're supposed to be doing. I guess if you can see, if you consider one Cinderella story, a lot of people say Gordon Hayward. He's a Cinderella story because a lot of people feel like he hasn't fully recovered mentally, maybe physically too, but more so mentally from the catastrophic ankle injury that he had. But this closeout game, he had 20 points. He looked it very, very well. He was moving very, very well, able to get to spots that he needed to get his shot off. He looked it very, very active on the defensive end. So this is what you like to see, especially with a team that doesn't have Marcus Smart right now. They need everything that they can get from Gordon Hayward, because they brought him in for situations like this. And, you know, at least for this series, he was able to deliver and be effective. So that's one Cinderella story that I could think of. The Portland Trail Blazers are definitely a Cinderella story. I'm not a big fan of their roster. I feel like they could have did more. And especially with Nurkic going out the way he went out and having to throw your centers duties to Enes Kanter, who is a great offensive player but is very, very challenged defensively. But you could tell, and he's looking to fill the void that Nurkic left, which Nurkic was a very effective offensive player, but he was also a very good defensive player, you know, an anchor in that middle for them. And you know, he's trying to fill that role. He may not be able to be the best at it, but he has been effective enough to be able to hold down the fort and be able to do what he does. He's a great rebounder, so he's rebounding. He's a great low post scorer, so he's in the paint. He's, you know, he's drawing double teams, kicking it out to Dame, kicking it out to CJ. Al-Farouq Aminu had a great game. Game 4, 19 points. They need another guy. Who's going to be that third guy who's going to score for Portland? Because you know Dame's going to get his, CJ's going to get his, but who's going to be that next guy to help them be able to you know, to be able to go far in the playoffs? And so Portland has definitely been a Cinderella story for me, despite their number 3 seed. I felt Oklahoma City was going to come in and it was going to beat them. Westbrook does his thing. Paul George, you can kind of see that he's been affected by his injuries. Even though he's putting up numbers, it doesn't look like the numbers don't look good when you're struggling and you're turning the ball over and you're missing a lot of shots and this, that, and the third, and that, and the third, and the fifth, and the third, and the fourth. So it doesn't look that good. So they're down 3-1. Can Oklahoma City come back? That remains to be seen. So that's been my Cinderella story so far. Like I said, it seems like everybody's doing what they're supposed to do in the playoffs so far. It seems like it's not really nothing crazy, nothing indifferent or anything. It seems like everything's kind of going the way that you want it to go. Maybe a lot of the game ones is a lot of the surprise, but you can kind of see where teams are kind of coming, you know, things are kind of, you know, balancing out the way that they're supposed to balance out. So now let's get to my final four. My final four will be these following four teams. I got Golden State and Denver in the West. I have the Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors in the East. So that means Boston and Milwaukee will play each other next round. And I just feel like Boston is the better team. I feel like they have more capable bodies of guarding Giannis than what the Pistons have, of course. And, you know, just overall, that scary Terry Rozier, Eric Bledsoe matchup is going to be revisited again. That should be fun. Brogdon should be back for the second round. So, you know, that's an added boost. You got Mirotić, you got Ilyasova, Brook Lopez is playing well. So I just feel like they are playing. Wait a minute, why am I hyping up Milwaukee? But they have all of these factors to make this an interesting series. The Bucks have all these factors to make it an interesting series. But the Celtics, that's who I was talking about. I don't know where, how I just did that. But, you know, they have all this depth. You know, Marcus Smart will be coming back. And, you know, he's going to be able to help them. You know, he's the heart and soul of the team, so he's going to give them an added boost. Kyrie looks like he's, you know, he's playoff Kyrie. And overall, I just like Boston more than I do Milwaukee. Even though in the midst of my explaining, you probably would have thought that I like Milwaukee. But I think Boston will pull it out. I think it'd be a 6-7 game series, but I think Boston will pull it out.
Man. So, I talked about the Warriors. The Warriors, they're just the best team, and I feel like Houston's gonna give them a run for their money once again. I think it's gonna be a good series, but I feel like Golden State is gonna have one of them games where they just give lackadaisical performance, and Houston is gonna come out, punch them in the mouth a little bit, and Golden State is gonna be able to bounce back, and it's gonna be a nice heavyweight fight. I feel like Houston is more talented than Golden State. I feel Golden State is more talented than Houston. So, Golden State is going to win. Denver, I feel like winning a game at home in the playoffs, winning a game on the road in the playoffs, that is going to help their psyche. And they're going to be able to pull these next two out. And then they're probably going to get Portland. And from the games that I saw, Portland and Denver, it was one game where it didn't really matter because Denver had already secured their spot. Portland won that game, but the game before that, you know, Denver destroyed it. And I feel like it would kind of be the same thing because Denver is just a much better team. I talked about Boston and why I feel like they would be one of the Final Four. Toronto, defensively, they're playing very, very well. Kawhi's playing well. Kyle Lowry's doing what he needs to do. Marc Gasol is looking like a very, very good pickup. Serge Ibaka is solidifying that second group. You got Van Fleet, Norman Powell. So everybody's contributing in the way that they need to. And they're tired of being labeled as the playoff chokers. So they want to come in. They're coming in with a sense of urgency. They're coming in with a chip on their shoulder. And everybody is, you know, contributing the way that they need to. NBA Finals. I got Golden State and I got Boston, and I got the Warriors winning it in 6 games. Like I said, Golden State is going to have these games. I feel like every round they're going to have a game where they're playing really, really well, and they're going to get lackadaisical, and the team's going to come back and probably beat them. And that's just going to wake them up and help them realize that they can't take it easy with these good teams, and they're going to come out and they're going to win. Boston's going to give them a good fight, but at the end of the day, Golden State is going to pull it out. Wow. All right, so April Madness. April Madness is done and over with. Let's end the show with my top 4 stories of the week.
Sit back and relax. Sit back and relax. Time to have some knowledge dropped on you.
All right, so in the midst of the playoffs, the class of 2019 Hall of Fame was announced back in March. It was March. So the class of 2019 was announced. This isn't a very good class. The headliners include Vlade Divac, Sidney Moncrief, and Jack Sigma. Teresa Weatherspoon also made the cut as a Hall of Famer, and it got me to wondering because Chris Webber got snubbed once again, but Vlade Divac made the All-Star team, and it has to be a separation between International Hall of Fame and NBA and Basketball Hall of Fame. And I know they categorize it Basketball Hall of Fame, so you got International, Women's, College, high school, all that. So all of these conglomerates of basketball is all under one roof. But there's no way, no disrespect to Vlade Divac, there's no way that Vlade Divac should be in the Hall of Fame before Chris Webber. Are you serious? Like, that doesn't make any sense, man. And I'm not mistaken, I gotta double check, but if I'm not mistaken, I think Arvydas Sabonis is also in the Hall of Fame. Arvydas Sabonis is also in the Hall of Fame. He was inducted in 2011. Now, do you really think that Arvydas Sabonis is a Hall of Famer before Chris Webber? Now, I know what he did overseas. Yes. Great. wonderful, wonderful what he did overseas. But there should be a separation between International Hall of Fame and NBA Hall of Fame. Because if we're looking at NBA Hall of Fame, there's no way guys like Marcus Johnson, personally, I feel Ben Wallace should be in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, that's just bias because Ben Wallace was my favorite player growing up. But Chris Webber should be in the Hall of Fame. There's no way Vlade Divac should be in the Hall of Fame before Chris Webber. So it should be a separation of the two. Separation between the International Hall of Fame and the NBA Hall of Fame. And if you want to put the WNBA with the, in that same conglomerate, maybe it should just be a Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. Like, it should be separate branches of Hall of Fames. Like, it shouldn't be like the NFL. NFL has the Hall of Fame, but you don't see, like, USFL players in the Hall of Fame or NFL Europe players in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? You don't see, like, other players from other leagues in the Hall of Fame. You know, like, the NBA Hall of Fame is kind of like the WWE Hall of Fame. They just kind of, you know, they just put anybody in the Hall of Fame just to put them in there. Chris Webber should not be a snub of the Hall of Fame. No matter what you think of his career, the timeout, whatever the case may be, Chris Webber should not be snub for the Hall of Fame. And that's just my personal opinion on that. Wade and Dirk retired. Wade left with a trip dub. Dirk left well too. Two of the greatest to ever compete in the National Basketball Association. So you got to give them the utmost respect and give them the most personal, give them the props, because they really put in the work. They really did wonderful jobs changing the game. Dwayne Wade is even as one of the top three shooting guards of all time. Dirk is a guy who has changed the way the game is played. He has made it cool for big men to be able to step out and hit threes and take guys off the dribble and all of that other good stuff. Dirk was the, wouldn't say the pioneer of it, but he was a guy who really helped shine a light to the big men who do all the other stuff. So, shout out to Dwayne Wade and shout out to Dirk Nowitzki. But the way Dwayne Wade played, you know what? Him LeBron boys, if LeBron can get some guys to come over there in L.A., this summer, hey, I would not be surprised if I see Dwayne Wade coming out of retirement to play for the LA Lakers to push for another championship. As I stated earlier in the show, Indiana was eliminated from the playoffs. Unfortunately, they gave a good run. Where do they go from here, man? Where do they go from here? They got some interesting questions, man. They got a lot of guys who are about to become free agents. Guys like Wesley Matthews, Tyreke Evans, Bojan Bogdanovic, Darren Collison, Corey Joseph, Thaddeus Young. Domantas Sabonis is going to be a free agent next summer. A restricted free agent, which means that a team can sign him to an offer and an Indiana can match it or not. But they're going to have to pay him. So it's going to be a lot of entry for Indiana, man. They're about to lose some. They potentially could be losing some key guys. And this could be, and I hate to say this, man, because a couple years ago, I called the Indiana Pacers, the Bobby Schmurder and Roddy Rebel of the league, because they just came out of nowhere. They came out of nowhere and they got all the success, and you just wouldn't expect them to have all the success. But this could be the trend going downward for Indiana, man. You got Oladipo who's hurt. He tore his ACL back in January. That normally takes a year to recover from. So you got to look at if he's going to be with the team. You know, is he going to be with the team before January? He's going to be with the team after January. He's going to just be there for maybe like a stretch run. Is he going to miss the whole season to come back next season? You gotta wonder about that. And if that's the case, were they surprised teams where they were able to compete by doing the scoring by committee thing? I don't think they'll be able to do that anymore. And they'll have to bring in a guy to help them get buckets. I think they'll have enough. I think they'll have some money to play with this summer to be able to get a guy like that. A Kemba Walker will be a wonderful addition to that team. But it just remains to be seen. But shout out to the Indiana players, Pacers, for doing their thing, man, because they really, really held the fort down when a lot of people didn't expect them to be able to hold the fort down. Like I said, I thought that they was going to be able to compete better than what they did, but they wasn't able to. Now, end of the year awards. Let's get it over with.
There's the right way, the wrong way, and Daytona's way. Which could be a combination of the right way and the wrong way to you, but in his eyes, it's always the right way. Here's this week's Logically Correct because he says so.
MVP. No, we're not going to start with MVP. Let's start with Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year, Trae Young came on very, very strong at the end of the year. But I'm going to have to go with my boy, Luka. Luka Doncic, man, from the beginning to end, he was the guy, the catalyst. He played like a veteran, even though he kind of was a veteran because he had been playing overseas for a couple years in the league over there. And, you know, that league is just as competitive as the NBA. But then again, you could always say that, you know, he, you know, guys that played in the league and came back from to the NBA, they wasn't as effective. Brandon Jennings, Jimmy Fredette, guys like that. So there was still opportunity of failure, but he didn't take that opportunity. He kept doing what he needed to do. So Luka Doncic has given Dallas a very, very promising future. And then you look at him and Kristaps. Kristaps is going to probably be back next season. You know, they got a little money to play with. They're looking at Vucevic. I think they should go out there. Kemba Walker. I think that would be a dope combination. Kemba, Luka, Kemba, Luka, Kristaps team. I think that'll put Dallas right there in the mix in the West. But I'm going to have to go with Luka. Luka's going to be my Rookie of the Year. Sixth Man of the Year. No doubt is going to go to Sweet Lou. Averaging 20 points for the Clippers, man. He's that guy. Doesn't like starting. Feels better coming off the bench. Maybe because the shots are more for him off the bench. But at the end of the day, he's perfected his role. The all-time leader in bench points, passing Dale Curry. So shout out to Sweet Lou. He's going to be able to win that award. I think Montrezl Harrell, he'll get a lot of he should be in the mix for it as well. Domantas Sabonis is another guy who'll probably be in the mix for it as well. Defensive Player of the Year, I'm going to go with Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is averaging about 2.3 blocks a game, which isn't leading the league. Miles Turner led the league in block shots, but you can see his impact. That game against Houston, he had about 7 to 8 blocks. Just closing down the paint just made it so difficult for the Rockets to get anything in the paint. And that's what he's been doing all year. It really hasn't been a guy to really separate themselves in terms of winning the award. Draymond Green kind of fell out of that consideration. I don't really consider him one of the elite defenders. He's a very good defender, but not as elite as he once was. Maybe that's because he was dealing with injuries and things of that nature. But I'm going to give this to Rudy Gobert. Most improved player, I'm going to go with Pascal Siakam. He's playing very, very well in the playoffs. He played very, very well this season. He went from 7.3 points to 17 points and improved in every statistical category. He's really, really helped Toronto. He's given them another dimension offensively. You know, he's really, really coming into his own. And in an event, if Kawhi does leave, I think Pascal could come in. I think it could be a 20-point-per-game scorer for them. And maybe they won't lose that much of a beat. You know, they won't be the same. But, you know, I feel like Pascal will come in and, you know, be effective. So Pascal is going to be my most improved player. Coach of the Year actually went to Mike Budenholzer. Of course, you know, he coached the best team in the league. The Bucks was the only 60-win team in the NBA. But I went with Kenny Atkinson because there's no way that Brooklyn should be a 6 seed. There's no way. There's no way Brooklyn should be a 6 seed. You could also win with Steve Clifford because that lineup that they have, I just felt like this mismatch and it just didn't make sense. But he made it look very, very well, and you've seen that they was able to take a game from Toronto. They're getting beat right now, though, 3-1, but they were at least able to take a game. They were able to do something that my Pistons aren't able to do yet. So I went with Kenny Atkinson. He got D'Angelo Russell believing in himself. Caris LeVert is playing very, very well. Spencer Dinwiddie is playing very, very well. Jared Allen is coming into his own. You look at this team, this is a team that was clear rebuilding team now to a team that's going to go into the summer with some money to play with. They could possibly get a guy. Julius Randle will be a nice fit for that Brooklyn squad. I'm telling you, Julius Randle, man, go to Brooklyn, man. You'll have a really, really good chance there. And last but not least, my MVP. A lot of people was going to go with Giannis because he's the best player on the best team, and that's usually how MVPs go, except for when you average triple-doubles in a season like Russell Westbrook. But I'm going to go with James Harden. I just think that if James Harden wouldn't have went on that tear that he went on, where he was putting up 50 points and 30-point games every game for like 30 straight games, Houston wouldn't be in the position that they're in. You kind of seen where James Harden was struggling. Houston struggled. But James Harden was able to come into his own. You see he's playing very, very well. He's able to affect games in more ways than one. He's a very, very effective playmaker. Defensively, he's one of the league leaders in steals. You never would have thought that with James Harden. You never would have expected that. And you're lying if you said you would. But he's affecting the game. Just like Giannis, he affects the game too. But I just feel like in the East, I feel like 17 point per game, 18, 19 point per game, Giannis would have kept Milwaukee and maybe in one of the top three seeds. James Harden, the way he was playing, maybe he was getting all his points, but he was struggling from the floor. If he didn't play the way that he played, especially with Chris Paul being injured and all of the turmoil and things that they went through with their team, they had the whole Carmelo Anthony thing that didn't work out. If it wasn't for him stepping his game up and putting the team on his back, literally, I don't think Houston would be in the position that they're in. So, those are my end of season awards. That's my episode. Oh, and shout out to me for accidentally spending $585 by accident and having to refund that money back to myself because I didn't mean to spend that much money. But yeah, that's just how things go sometimes. And TCF, man, look, we'll get into my WTF moments of the list. I got to put some more people on the hit list too. TCF going on my hit list because TCF is terrible as a bank, man. And, you know, we just going to have to part ways. This is getting ridiculous. But, hey, man, I've done what I needed to do. I appreciate you guys rocking out with me, man. I'm your host, Tyrone Smith, Raw 2 exclusive, Hustle Bandit, Sneaker Bandit, 4-Point Island, Locker Room Raw, Daytona 360 signing off, and I will holler at y'all next week. Rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. Rest in peace to my cousin Troy. Rest in peace to all the fallen angels out there, man. We know you watching over us and you got your eye on us, making sure that we are doing what we need to do to be able to succeed while we're here. And that's how we go in this show. So I'm going to holler at y'all next week. Peace.
Thanks for listening. Your support just helped the show get closer to that bag. For more info on the show, hit up Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Exclusive Breakdown. Talk to you next week.